Amen. If you have a Bible, Acts chapter 26. Good to see Nick and Tammy. That was a real answered prayer, wasn't it? We just mentioned your name a few minutes ago. That's a quick answer. Boy, what else could we answer? Or what else could God answer that we would pray for now? Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul, great missionary, traveled, established churches, and really was faithful to the Lord. He is giving his testimony before King Agrippa here. And he's telling what happened in his life. And then we come down to verse 17, and he talks about God sending him. And this is the purpose that God sent him to do. Verse 18, we'll begin reading there, Acts 26:18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And again, it's a dialogue with King Agrippa. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. And he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What an amazing statement that he made. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know, there are things that we come close to doing, and it's real close. And there are other things that we would never do in a million years. We're not close to that decision at all. I don't know how close he was here, but he said almost. The Bible goes on and says, and Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. By this time in Paul's life, he had been beaten, he had been shipwrecked. All kinds of terrible things have happened to his body because of his service for the Lord. And he says, I wish you could be like me, not with all this bonds and imprisonments and all of those things, but I wish you could know the gospel. And Paul really paid the price to do that. The Bible goes on and says in verse 30, and when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Great story, and we'll take that one verse. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Father, bless your word today. Thank you for it, and I pray that it would really have an effect on every heart here. I pray that we would all be drawn closer to you, Lord, that this would be a wonderful day of faith and repentance and forgiveness. Bless now, help us as we preach and hear your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Almost, for years, I had a jail ministry in Centerville, Michigan. There was a county jail there. And every crook that I talked to in there said, I almost got away with it, you know. And if somebody was gonna steal something, they wouldn't do it with the intention of being caught, you know. They would wanna get away with it. And I remember preaching one time, and I said, some of you are in jail for something you didn't do. And they all said, oh, yeah, boy, he's got it. And I said, you didn't wipe your prints off the safe. And they that was a whole different idea. But some people, I almost passed the test. I almost went through a red light. I almost forgot your birthday. You know, some are more important than others. Almost many times keeps company with if only or a missed opportunity, you know, something like that. There are minor almost and there are major almost. And this one with King Agrippa was certainly a major one. He almost became a Christian. We don't have anything recorded that he repented or that he became a Christian, but what a terrible thing. In Psalm 73, and you don't have to turn there, I just want to look at a couple verses. But the psalmist said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. And the reason he said that, he was envious at the foolish. He saw the prosperity of the wicked. And he said, boy, they have more than heart could wish. Nothing ever goes wrong for them and all of this. And I'm trying to live for God. And look at the trials I'm going through. And he was envious of that, of the foolish. And then it says in verse 17, I didn't understand until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. And he looked at all the benefits of God and he said, how foolish was I for not seeing that. But his steps had almost slipped. Proverbs chapter 5. In Proverbs chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, the Bible speaks about a young fool, and it speaks about the strange woman, how the adulteress will hunt for precious life. And this is what it says in verse 14. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Almost, even being with other worshipers. It's absolutely amazing our sometimes opportunity to sin. And he says, I almost fell, but he didn't. Praise God that he didn't. Exodus chapter 17. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Obviously, they didn't, because we read on a little bit later. But Moses had delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. Chapter 15, they're singing a song. Chapter 14, they've crossed the Red Sea. And everybody's happy. But now they don't have any water to drink. And so they said to Moses, did you bring us out here to kill us? It's amazing, that statement, you know, but that need in that human heart just rose up and became critical. But it says they almost were ready to stone me. Thank the Lord, that's an almost that never happened. Psalm 17, verse 4. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. And God does that through his word. And we thank God for a Bible today because it's what keeps us. And we'll see that as we read a couple verses. This is Jude, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy to the only wise God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So God keeps us, and God has the power to do that. And we praise him for that. 1 Peter 1, 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I'm persuaded that the Bible is true. I'm persuaded that it's God's word. I'm persuaded that he doeth all things well. Amen. There's some things I don't like to go through, but all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. That life is full of heartache, amen? In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And so we have all of these promises in the word of God. People are watching the news. People are afraid of everything. And we who've studied the prophecy, we see what's going to happen. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We know what's going to happen in Israel. We know there's going to be a man of peace that's going to come on the scene. And boy, I better stop, amen? You can really get going on that. But there are things that will be happening, and we know that from the scripture, and we can take heart to that. In John chapter 10, Paul was persuaded that God was able to keep him. And that's a promise in the word of God. In John chapter 10, Jesus promised us eternal life. He promised that to us. And he says, those that accept Christ are in the Savior's hand, and the Savior's hand is in the Father's hand, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. Once we accept Christ as Savior, we are saved. Amen? And God promises eternal life. Not 10 years of it, but eternal life. In our text, here's a man that's almost persuaded to become a Christian. And in, I think it's Acts chapter 11, they were first called Christians at Antioch. They were called Christians because they were followers of Christ. And he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That Paul did his best. Amen? He tried to convince him. And he, if you read the whole chapter, you see that. But a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And sometimes people will agree with you, and they really don't agree in their heart. And to be saved, you have to agree in your heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's a hymn in our hymnal, Almost Persuaded. And there was a man, the man that wrote that listened to a sermon by a guy by the name of Brundage, who finished the sermon with this statement. He who is almost persuaded is almost saved, and to be almost saved is to be entirely lost. And so that's what prompted the writing of this song, Almost Persuaded. The first verse is almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go spirit, go thy way, some more convenient day on thee I'll call, putting it off. In Acts chapter 19, Paul is at Ephesus. It was a wicked city. If you read the whole chapter, they worshiped the goddess Diana there. And they were gathered together one time, and for 2 hours they just said over and over, great is Diana of the Ephesians. For 2 hours, the Bible says that was recorded. And Paul is there, and it says in Acts 19 and verse 8, he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing, now watch the language, and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And the next verse says, and mightily grew the word of God. He is in a wicked place. He is in an idolatrous city. And yet he's persuading people with the word of God to become Christians. That's a blessing. And so mightily grew the word of God because it had an effect on somebody. As he was preaching, as he was teaching, as he was sharing the scriptures with people, it went to work in their hearts and their lives were being changed. That's how the word of God grew. Somebody wanted what that person had. Amen? And because they were persuaded about that. We have Paul in Rome in Acts chapter 28. And this is towards the end of his life. He fought a good fight. He kept the faith. He finished his course. But it says in verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him in his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. And the Bible says there, and some believed and some believed not. The Bible is an amazing book. It is God's word. And the Bible says the Spirit empowers that word, and the Spirit shows us the truth. And so there's something at work when we listen to the Bible or read the Bible. Amen? God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's why we use the Bible when we do that. But here he is in a wicked place, and some believed. That's a blessing. But some believe not. I don't know. I preached in a lot of different places, and I've seen people saved after a service. But there's other people that would say, not now. Some more convenient time. Almost you persuaded me. It's good to be persuaded by God. Amen. Paul was instrumental in establishing a church in Galatia. And he writes back to the Galatians because somebody came there, the Judaizers, and they taught false doctrine of salvation, about the gospel. And Paul says, if any man comes and brings any other gospel, or if an angel from heaven would come and bring any other gospel, let them be accursed. He says that 2 times in chapter 1. And so he's trying to give them the truth. And he's saying, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the works of the flesh? And he was trying to persuade them and show them where they were wrong. He said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not from him that calleth you. It's not from God. And then he went on to say, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And that's true. That's very true. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Because there's false teaching out there and there's false doctrine. And so we have to be careful with that. I don't know if you were ever on the debate team in school. I wasn't. But I remember they would do that. They would get together and somebody would give them a subject. And whether they were for it or not, they had learned to debate. And there are people trying to convince somebody else something that they don't even believe. But it was a debate. And sometimes they would get heated. Have you ever had an argument with somebody? Let's not call it an argument. A healthy conversation with somebody, you know, and something you believed in, something they believed in, they're trying to convince you, you're trying to convince them, and boy, that could be a problem, you know. But when we come to the Word of God, we let God interpret it. We let God show us what the truth is. That's a blessing. Politics, what a blessing to have a discussion about politics. Man, I mean, you can really get heated. For those of you that don't know what politics is, we've defined that here. Poly is a many-sided figure, polygon, etc. And a tick is a blood-sucking insect. And so politics is many blood-sucking insects. Okay, moving right along. Vote for me. You know, don't vote for him. He's a dirtbag. And if you vote for him, that'll be bad. So, you know, it's a primary, so you vote for me. But if this guy loses and the dirtbag wins, then he makes up to him so he can put him in his cabinet. Maybe you don't understand that, and if you don't, you're lucky. Amen. Religion, boy, that's another one. You know, if somebody is open to the truth, you persuade them according to the scriptures. Amen. You have the knowledge. You know where to find the verses. You've used them before and seen wonderful success because people have believed the faith and trusted in Jesus Christ. That is so important in the life of a believer. Mightily grew the word of God. Morals. It seems like the morals of America are going downhill. What's right? What's wrong? Some call good evil and evil good, light for darkness, darkness for light. And the Bible says that. The Bible says that's all going to happen. Proverbs chapter 9, there are two voices calling. One is the world and one is the Savior. And they say the same thing. But if you go one way, there's destruction. Another way, there's forgiveness and blessing. James chapter 3. The wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's sown in peace of them that make peace. Wisdom from above. The wisdom from below is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And so the Bible is a book of wisdom. God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians, it talks about the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. And we want the wisdom of God. We have 1 Kings 18, how long halt ye between two opinions, etc. Sports. You can find out if you're a Christian just by sports. If you're for the Detroit Tigers, you're a Christian. Amen? If you drive a Honda, you must be a Christian. Amen? I mean, aren't those things silly? Okay. Moving right along. There's a story back in 2 Kings. It doesn't start in chapter 18, but the part I want to tell you about is there. And Assyria is going to attack Samaria and King Hezekiah. Hezekiah's good king. And there's a man by the name of Rabshakeh, and he's the spokesman for the king of Assyria. And he comes up and he says, nobody's able to stand before my king of Assyria. We have conquered this group, this country, this nation. We've conquered everybody. And you'll not be able to do anything different. And he said, so we want you just to continue as you are, and we're going to come, and then we're going to take you captive. And this is what he said. Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive and of honey, that ye may live and not die, and hearken not unto Hezekiah. when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hezekiah knew from speaking with God and God's word that they would be victorious and they would defeat the enemy. And so Hezekiah was trying to persuade the people with that word from the Lord. Guess what? They were delivered. And God, you can read on in the story and see how God did that. But here is the enemy promising all of this good, and don't listen to Hezekiah. He's following the word of your God, but our God is stronger. So we come to church, amen, and we hear what God has to say to us. And then we go home and we watch the news and we see what the world has to say. Or we watch this movie or that movie or this, I don't know, whatever on TV, and we get the wisdom of the world. We need to stick with the wisdom of God. Amen. Amen. Do you believe in God? How would God persuade you? How would he ever persuade you to believe what's right? He would use his word. Amen. And he also uses the foolishness of preaching. So I'm just preaching his word. And if I tell a story like you got to be for the lions if you're saved, you throw that out the window. Amen. Because that's nowhere in the Bible. But if I say something like, he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can hang your hat on that. You can come to the mercy seat. You can come to the throne of grace. You can have forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what in your life that you've done, you can have forgiveness. You can be washed as white as snow. You can have a home in heaven. You can have all of your sins forgiven. Those are principles in the Bible that you can drive a nail in a sure place. The world would want you to deny, but God wants you to believe. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, listen to the verse, we persuade men. We don't share the gospel with people so we can get more people in church. I mean, I'd love to see the church full. This is being recorded, this sermon, it's on YouTube. I estimate the crowd today about 1,500, and maybe not quite that many. Amen. Just seeing if you're awake. Amen. But, I mean, it's so important. It's just so important to have the truth. But we know the terror of the Lord, so we persuade men. And this is the message, short message. We are all accountable to God, everyone here. Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. 1 Peter 4:5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? There's two future judgments. You probably know this, but it's a good reminder. It's here a little, there a little. We repeat the word of God. Two future judgments. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The first one is the judgment seat of Christ. That's for Christians. That is for believers. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, one day there's going to be a judgment for that. You will not be judged whether you're saved or lost. You will be judged whether you've served the Lord or not served the Lord and what your motive was. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. If you have a Bible and you want to turn there, turn to Romans. Romans chapter 14. And I want to read a couple verses there. Romans chapter 14. And look with me at verse 10. Romans 14 and verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of somebody else to God. No, it says you'll give account of himself to God. We are going to stand before God. What was it Peter said? Lord, what shall this man do? And the Lord says, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And sometimes we get our eyes focused, boy, they're not doing anything, but I'm better than them. And comparing ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise, the Bible says. Amen? We will individually stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Flip the page over, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, two pages actually. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's begin reading here in verse 6. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. We are just tools in his hands. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. God's going to judge us according to what we did in this life. If we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, if we're Christians, we're going to stand there to answer for how we lived. Amen? And what we've done for God and what our motive was. And the Bible pictures it like, if it's good motive, it's a good works, it's gold, silver, precious stone. If it's wood and stubble, it's just going to burn up. But yet you'll be saved, yet so as by fire. That's the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear there. But Revelation chapter 20 talks about another judgment. And this is the great white throne judgment. This is a judgment of lost people. If the Christian won't stand at the great white throne judgment to be judged. But the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And the Bible goes on in verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They have not received the Savior. This is why we persuade men. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It's nice that our families are Christian, that our relatives are, that makes our life better, amen. We enjoy them better and we feel better about it. But our family and our friends and the people that bring us, that God brings us into contact with, if they're not saved, it's not just getting them to join what we believe or getting them to come to church. It's to keep them out of hell. The second death is the lake of fire. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Ye must be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Amen. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. God provides all of the promises, all of the instruction to trust him. He tells us how he died on the cross for our sins, and all we have to do is accept him as our Savior, and we have eternal life. But more than that, Christ in you, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And when you let God in your life, he changes you. He's there. He guides. He comforts. He leads. He ministers. It's such a powerful, wonderful thing. We persuade men. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. I believe this is about preachers. Obey them that have the rule over you, and don't Don't mistake that. That's there are other scriptures that go with that. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I give account for what I preach. I give account for how I lead the flock. Amen? I'm a shepherd, an under-shepherd for sure with the Lord. But I try and preach the word of God so that people can be saved, so that they can live for God. Amen? So that God can use them to reach other people. And I have to give account for what I say. I preach the word of God. And if you follow that, if you follow the Bible, that is profitable for you, because you're being used of God for his glory. That's such a blessing. In Acts chapter 8, there's a story, and it's about the Ethiopian eunuch. And God calls Philip from Samaria. They're having a great revival. He sends him to the desert. He doesn't know why he's going, but when he sees the eunuch traveling, he knows why. And he joins himself to that chariot, and he notices that the eunuch is reading Isaiah 53, a scroll. He's reading it. Isaiah 53 is a great chapter in the Bible. It's all about Jesus, amen? But you would know that if you've studied the Bible. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? So Philip began to persuade him to open the scriptures. I want to tell you who this is talking about. And he told him exactly who it was talking about. And, excuse me. And then the eunuch said, well, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, you can be baptized. You got to believe in Jesus with all your heart. And the eunuch says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And he got saved. Amen. It was because a man sent by God used the Bible to reason with him and to persuade him that it was Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Philip never saw him again. I'm sure they had a reunion up in heaven sometime, but he never saw him again. This isn't about building a church, but if you do that, you will build a church. But it's not about that. It's about getting people saved. What a blessing that is. There's another story in Acts chapter 10 and 11. And boy, there's so much here. There's a man by the name of Cornelius. And Cornelius is praying. He's a Gentile. Peter is seeing a vision from God. And God's telling him about unclean animals are not unclean anymore. And Peter says, I've never eaten anything unclean. And God says, what I've cleaned, call not thou common, if I've cleansed it. And so God sends Peter to Cornelius's house, and Cornelius is praying that God will send somebody to his house where he could understand the word of God. There's so much in this story. Anyway, let me just read this. In Acts chapter 10, verse 33, Cornelius sends to Peter when he shows up. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear things that are commanded thee of God. We're here. He got his whole family together. I've been in homes like that, haven't you? Where you go to witness to somebody and they say, wait, let me get the kids. Let me get my wife. And we'll all sit down and we'll talk about this. And that especially happens on the mission field. I mean, you can fill up a house real quick. And they just want to hear what the Word of God says. Amen? It doesn't have to be an argument. It doesn't have to be a debate. It's just sharing the Word of God. And that's what Peter did here. And he got saved. He preached peace by Jesus Christ. He was persuaded because he was ready. Man, I like to find people that are ready. Amen? I mean, sometimes you find somebody that's not ready. And you're just planting or watering, and somebody's going to come along in a month, in a year, in a decade, and win that person. But you're a part of the process. God's still working. Maybe you give a gospel witness, somebody doesn't get saved. Oh, wow, nothing. Something happened. Amen? That word will not return again void. We're just part of the process. We just read that chapter. But it's something we try to persuade people to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the story in Acts chapter 16 about the Philippian jailer. And Paul and Silas are in jail and they're singing praises to God even though they're going to die. It's at midnight. They're singing. Their hands and feet are in stocks. They've been beaten. And they're still praising God. Man, my car won't start. Oh, God, stupid car. You know, because cars are stupid. I don't know if you knew that. Or if you're somewhere and you're in a hurry and there's a train, stupid train. Sometimes trains are smart. They are. They go right on by, and by the time you get to the tracks, they're gone. That's a smart train. Amen? The stupid one is when, man, he's going so slow. They ought to fire that conductor. I don't know, you know. But God is working. God is working all of the time. And here's, they're at midnight. Can you imagine? And the jailer heard that. And then there's an earthquake, and all the jail doors are open. Jail doors? The cells were open. And so the jailer comes in, and he's ready to kill himself. And Paul says, don't harm yourself. We're all here. You don't have to pay for an escapee. Everybody was there. Why? They all probably all got saved. There was preaching. There was singing. Amen? What a time that must have been. And so the jailer invites Paul and Silas to his house. This is a man that just beat them. He was a cruel man, a terrible man. And now he has Paul and Silas there, and he says to Paul, what must I do to be saved? He's ready. He was persuaded by something he heard. He was persuading by a Christian's response to this trial. Amen? He was persuaded by something. We need to be persuading men, because all men don't have faith. And we know the terror of the Lord. We know what's coming. And we need to persuade people. This is not just about us. Oh, I'm going to read a book on how to be happy. Just go out and witness. Amen? You win somebody to Christ, you'll be happy. You'll rejoice because there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. The eunuch, Cornelius, the jailer. How about the thief on the cross? He was cursing Christ at one time. But when he saw something and heard something, he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He was ready. He was persuaded that Jesus was the Son of God. Boy, that's such a blessing. Persuaded or almost persuaded. Today and tomorrow and the rest of your life on earth, you'll be making decisions, temporal decisions. But you'll be making spiritual decisions too. If you're here today and you never accepted Christ as your Savior, if it's just religion, if it's just the church wants your money, if it's just this, boy, I got to do that and give up this and start this. That's not what it is. Becoming a Christian is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, you need to be saved. Accept Christ as your Savior. Accept His forgiveness. And God will work in your heart. You'll be a different person. That's a blessing. Amen? And you'll rejoice in that. And God will rejoice. So, I don't know if I've done a good job of persuading or preaching or debating, whatever words you would like to use, but if you're here and you're not saved, you need to be saved. I wish I could persuade you. If you're here today and you're just living life and you're not serving the Lord, if it's all about you, if it's all about comfort, if it's all about whatever, and we're not witnessing to people, I want to persuade you to witness, to tell people to be saved, how to be saved, to give gospel tracts out, to try and get people into church because they sit and they listen to the word where they might not listen for 45 minutes to you. They might change the subject, but here they'll listen to the word of God. Our agenda, our goal is just for the glory of God. Amen? And we do that by persuading people. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Felix said, "When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." Don't be discouraged, because planting the seed is important. And we don't win everybody we first talk to, but plant the seed and then water it with prayer. I want to close just with this. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And it qualifies that. And you remember, in the days of Noah, they thought he was crazy until the flood came. And the Bible says God shut the door. Noah didn't shut it. The Bible says God shut the door. And whoever was on that ark escaped that destruction of the flood. But once that door was shut, it was shut. The day is coming when that door is going to be shut. There's a verse, I think it's Genesis chapter 6, where God says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." We have hymns in our hymn book that talk about that. God comes and he comes and he comes. And sometimes somebody could reject him so many times, he just doesn't come anymore. You don't hear it anymore. If I was lost today and I felt anything that God was speaking to me, I would get saved, because you don't know if you'll have another opportunity. I don't say that to scare you. I say that, well, maybe I do, but I say that to persuade you. And if you're here and you're saved and your life is just all about this or that, may it be about getting people saved and living for Jesus Christ. Amen? Be persuaded. Let's bow our heads, please. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus, it's so easy. With the heart, man believeth. If you just believe that you're a sinner and you believe that God sent his Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for your sins, and he says, "Whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved." All you have to do, say a prayer in your heart. Doesn't have to be out loud. He'll hear the prayer of your heart. "Dear Jesus, forgive me. Be my Savior. Take me to heaven." Say it sincerely, and he'll answer that prayer. Your life will be different. Your future certainly will be. If you're here today and you're a Christian, live for him. I'll live for him. Follow him. Let him use you. Be an instrument. Live for him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's